You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, as we conclude our morning worship, we're going to take just a few moments and look at the fruit of the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 5, while our ushers receive our offering this morning. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 26. If you're a guest this morning, welcome to Hardin Baptist Church. This is one of the most exciting weeks in the life of our church as we get to come together, and literally we'll have 400 to 500 kids here each night during VBS, and we're really excited about the opportunity this church and this community, this region gives us of teaching their children. This year, our theme, if you can see it on my t-shirt, is Got Fruit. The girls, that's Abby and Shelley, our preschool and children's director, gave me the opportunity to write our curriculum for Vacation Bible School. And after I had finished writing it and I handed it to them, they looked at it and said, "Brother Ricky, it's a little over the heads of our preschoolers and our children." So I gave them permission to do whatever they needed to do with it to make sure it was applicable for Vacation Bible School students. And when I handed them material, I remember clearly the title of this study was going to be Fresh Fruit Daily. So you can imagine my surprise when they edited the material, came back to a staff meeting, and then in that staff meeting, they handed out pieces of paper with 9 different titles of possibilities for the staff to vote on for the name of the theme. And I just said, "Girls, it's Fresh Fruit Daily." They lobbied the 7 staff members that were there that morning. And when we tabulated all of the votes, there were 7 people present. I saw 4 votes for Fresh Fruit Daily. So can you imagine my surprise when the t-shirts come out and they say, "Got Fruit"? I have no idea how that happened, except I don't have as much influence as senior pastor as I thought I had. So this week, instead of talking about Fresh Fruit Daily, for the last 3 weeks, every time I drive up and down the road, I see a little fruit stand of somebody selling fresh fruit daily. Can you imagine the theme of Vacation Bible School this year? Fresh Fruit Daily. No, it's Got Fruit. So every night on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Chuck, Corey, and I, and all of the teachers, we're going to be asking your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor's kids this question: Got Fruit? However, this morning, we're not just talking to the VBS students. We're talking to all of us. So could we explore this thought this morning, Got Fruit? For see, we all know, according to the Bible, that the evidence that we are a Christian is that we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside us, and He is reproducing His life in us. And as He reproduces His life in us, there is this 9-fold cluster of fruit called the fruit of the Spirit. Got fruit? But can I go a little deeper? Got fresh fruit? But let's not just ask, have we got fruit? And let's not just ask, have we got fresh fruit? Let's ask, have we got fresh fruit daily? I want to warn you parents. I want to warn you grandparents. Your children love VBS. They're going to come home at the end of this week. They're going to come home nightly, and they're going to be singing these 3 songs that Matt has written specifically for our VBS. And they're going to be singing VBS, VBS, VBS. They're going to be singing about got fruit. They're going to be singing about keeping in step with the Spirit, and we're going to be teaching them, some of them who are young believers, some of them who are not believers yet but are going to be believers one day, we're going to be teaching them about what is the evidence of the Christian life. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to look in your life as their mother. They're going to look in your life as the dad. They're going to look in your life as the parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle. And you know what they're going to be asking? Got fruit? Got fresh fruit? Got fresh fruit daily? See, I stopped yesterday at a fruit stand because we're struggling in our house right now to have fresh fruit. I mean, I could go to the freezer and I could thaw out some strawberries that was frozen months ago, but it wouldn't be fresh. It was fresh months ago, but it's not fresh now. I could go to the pantry and we've got some little peaches in syrup in a package in a container that was fresh when it was picked, but it's not fresh now. I could pull out that bottom drawer and there's some apples and some oranges that I promise you they weren't fresh when I got them at the store, and they're really not fresh now, but it's all they had. But yesterday I saw that staying fresh fruit daily, and I stopped, and before I bought, I asked where the peaches came from, and they came from Union City, Tennessee. That's close. I asked where the watermelons came from, and they come from Missouri. That's getting closer than Alabama and Georgia. But you know, on my own farm, if I wanted something fresh, I'd have to go out to the garden, wade through the weeds, and try to find a tomato. That would be the only fresh fruit on my farm. If somebody wanted fresh fruit, how far would they have to go to see it? Could they just look at you as a dad? Could they just look at you as a dad? Could they just look at you as a mom? Could they go to granny's house or papa's house? Or where would they have to go? So I need you mom and dads to listen really close this morning, because we need you to be the examples of what a life looks like that's given evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Could we all stand together, adults and children, and let's turn our attentions to Galatians chapter 5, because this will be the text that we'll be quickly using. Now, I want you to know this. If you're an adult, all of our children have a sermon note worksheet, and they're going to be listening for keywords that only they know. So when you see them make marks, know that that means they're listening to Brother Ricky, and they're listening for some keywords that hopefully Brother Ricky's going to say, like fruit and like VBS and like love. So love, 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 VBS, 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 fruit, fruit, fruit. Did you kids get all of those down? Make sure you get all of those words down. Galatians chapter 5, listen to what verse 13 says. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, that's a key word, that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also, ESV, keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, one more time, we pray to you, asking for your anointing to let us, from the smallest preschooler to the oldest senior saint, to truly listen, hear, and be obedient to your word. We don't want to be hearers only, we want to be doers. And we want Brother Ricky also not to be a speaker only, but a doer of your word. Thank you, Father, for VBS. Thank you for this fruit that we get to examine this week during VBS on First Fruits Farm. In your son's name, we ask for this anointing. Amen. You may be seated. Watch out, keep up. Would you say that with me? Watch out, keep up. One more time. Watch out, keep up. Watch out, keep up. That's what we want every adult and every child to understand this morning, is that as Paul writes to the church at Galatia, and he talks about this great freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, where we have been set free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, Paul warns us, he cautions us, he's waving at us to get our attention to say, watch out. What does he want us to watch out for? Please hear this if you're a mommy. Please hear this if you're a daddy, if you're a grandparent, if you're an employer, you're an employee. You got to watch out, because even though you're free in Christ, and even though you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, and you can give evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, you still have a flesh that has not been redeemed. And what your flesh would like to do, because it has a mind of its own, is to take the freedom you've got and get you to use it selfishly. Did you catch that? And what he talks about is, if you're not careful and you don't watch out and you don't realize you still have an unredeemed flesh and you could still do acts of sin, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get in relationships with people. Could be a husband-wife relationship, could be a parent-child relationship, could be a best friend relationship, could be a work relationship, could be an employer-employee relationship, could be a church member relationship. And it could be just like when two animals start playing. So let's just imagine two pet dogs that we have at our house, and they're playing. Have you ever noticed they'll put their paw on each other, and then they'll put their body on each other, and they'll be kind of wrestling around. And the next thing you know, one of them takes their mouth and kind of mouths at the other one, and then the other one kind of mouths back. And the next thing you know, the other one mouths back, and this time the other one mouths back, but he mouths back just a little too hard. And instead of this dog, their best friends, they're your pet. Instead of your dog acting like nothing happened and walking away, realizing he didn't mean to hurt him, the other dog, he bites back. And this one yelps. And he doesn't just yelp, he yelps and then he bites back harder. And then this one yelps. And the next thing you know, they're trying to kill each other. We've all seen that, right? You see why Paul says, watch out? Here's what Paul's warning us about. There's going to be times when somebody's going to wrong us. And because we're free in Christ, your unredeemed flesh is going to tell you that because of what they just did to you, you now need to do this back. And what your flesh is leading you to do back is just as wrong as what they did to you. And what the Bible's warning us about, if you do that, it could break relationships. Now, here's what your flesh is going to say to you, adults. Your flesh is going to say to you, if you don't act back this way and defend yourself, they're going to think what they just did was okay. So if you let that slide and you don't act wrong back, they'll never change. They'll stay the same. And Paul says, watch out. Can I be honest with you? I have never, when someone wronged me and I decided to listen to my flesh and did something wrong back, I've never, when I wronged them back, had the person say to me, oh, I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. How thoughtless of me. Have you? Never. You know what always happens? When they've wronged me and I now wrong them back, they have forgot all about the wrong they did. And now they only see my wrong. And before this thing's over, this thing's been turned around on me, and now it's my fault. Get it? Why are we studying about the fruit of the Spirit? Why are we teaching this to our kids and our grandkids? It's because in life, inevitably somebody's going to wrong us. But if we're children of God, God never wants us to do wrong back. God always wants us to do right back. And when we do right back, what people see in us is the personality of Christ, and us doing right back over a period of time ultimately brings them to see and be convicted about what they're doing wrong. So we don't need to just have fruit. We need to have fresh fruit. We don't need a reaction that comes from something you decided to do years ago and you've stored it away in the freezer, and in a moment's notice, you're going to take it out of the freezer, put it in the microwave, and react. No. It's not going to be a prepackaged answer. It's not going to be a rotten or a bad fruit. It's going to be us in such a relationship with God through His Holy Spirit that the moment someone wrongs us, we respond with fruit, which gives evidence we are really His. Can I just tell you, mom and dad, this? Your kids are watching you. Please tell me you know that. Grandparents, as much fun as they have at your house, they're watching you. And now your church is going to come along this week and actually teach your children what the real evidence of being under the control of the Holy Spirit is. And so they're going to come home, and the first place they're going to expect to see fruit is in mom, dad's life, and in their grandparents' life. So we want you to be ready. So let's all say this, watch out, watch out. Now, whoa, I'm not watching out for you and what you do wrong to me. I'm watching out for what's inside me, and that's a flesh that's going to react wrong to what you just did wrong. So I'm going to watch out. Now, here's what Paul tells me. As I'm watching out, he actually tells me that if I will just walk in step with the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, I can never fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whoa. Now get this picture. If I'm a believer and I walk under the control of the Spirit, I'll never do something that would wrong anyone, either the initiation of it or the response of it, because I can't. Was that clear? See, this is where Abby and Shelley have to help me break it down. Did you catch that? If I'm walking in step with the Spirit, I'll never want to do anything that would hurt anybody. I'll never want to commit an act of sin. So here's what Paul teaches. If I'm under the control of the Spirit, I can't fulfill the desire of the flesh, which means if I ever fulfill the desire of my flesh, what does that automatically mean? It means I'm not under the control of the Spirit. Tell me you see that. I may not always know when I am under the control of the Spirit, but I always know when I'm not. And when I'm not is when I sin against God and I sin against someone. So immediately what I do, immediately I got to realize, whoa, Paul says I have an unredeemed flesh living inside me. I have the Spirit of God living inside me, and they are actually battling each other. So the Holy Spirit of God at all times, anytime a temptation comes, is going to try to lead me to do right, while my unredeemed flesh may want me to do wrong. They're going to be battling with each other, and I've got to choose who I'm going to listen to. And Paul just kind of throws this in. As a believer, we can do acts of sin, but if we continue to practice a lifestyle of sin, then we'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Which means what? We're not really a believer. Wow. So what do I have to do to have love where I put others first? Joy where I'm smiling on the inside. Peace where there's no worries. Patience where there's I wait. And I go all the way through the list. Well, see, this is not found in the manufacturing section of my life. It's in the produce section, which means I don't do anything. There's nothing I can do. I can't make it happen. I just have to yield and let the Holy Spirit of God live His life through me. I have to keep in step with the Spirit. And you know, I think that's the problem. I kind of think Christianity is kind of like riding a bicycle. Any of you ever ride a bicycle? You know, there's that part where you pedal and 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 man, all of a sudden you're not on the flat anymore. You're on a little hill and that hill gets a little steeper and you're pedaling really, really hard. And the next thing you know, you're on top of the mountain and you're seeing a view that you've never seen before and it's absolutely awesome. How many of you have been there? Amen. Awesome. And then all of a sudden you get to the crest and now you got a choice. To where I was going about 8 to 10, 11 miles up the hill per hour, I'm now at the top. And I can coast down and probably pick up a little speed, maybe do 15, 16, 17, 18, 20 miles an hour, and I'm not even pedaling, I'm just coasted. I'm being rewarded for all the pedaling I've been doing. And man, depending on how high I was, I can go a long way for a long time. Or I can choose to shift that road bike into the highest gear I've got and pedal as fast as I can pedal and break speeds that I've never broken before if I'll just keep pedaling. Some of us have stopped pedaling and we're coasting. Your wife doesn't know it. Your pastor doesn't know it. Your best friend at work doesn't know it because you've been so high in your life and so close to the Lord that at first you're going faster than you were when you're pedaling and everything looks good. But now instead of a day or two, it's been a week or two. Instead of a week or two, it's been months and it's been years. And you don't have fruit, fresh fruit, daily. So what we got to do to have fresh fruit daily? We got to watch out for what's on the inside of us, and that's an unredeemed flesh. And then we got to keep up with who's on the inside of us, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. I know I've told you this, but as we close, I wish I had never told you as a church Sometimes I've just been too honest with you about who I really am. But I told you years ago, and I know you know it because I've told you that I have no musical ability in me at all. I see those smirks. Because you know what I really believe? I really believe if I had not have told you that, and the only time you saw me was on Sunday morning sitting on the front row, you would never know I don't have musical ability. Because let me tell you what I've been doing for a long time. Have you ever noticed this? Sometimes on Sunday morning, Brother Ricky, who has no musical ability at all, just kind of sways back and forth when he's worshiping. Any of you ever noticed that about me? Any of you ever see me get so excited in worship that I just kind of start doing this a little bit and kind of start doing this a little bit and kind of... Do you know what I've learned to do in this church? I just watch Matt. Matt's our worship leader. And sometimes, I don't know if you know it, but I see his little foot start doing this. I see his little legs start, and I just do what he does. He taught me a long time ago that if I'll just listen to the drum, don't ever criticize the drum. I love the drum in worship because when that drum's doing that thing, setting the beat, I'm clapping in step with the drum. And you'd never know I don't have rhythm. Now, without the drum and without Matt, it'd be bad. And that's why some of you are messing up really, really bad. In and of yourself, you have nothing. So we got to manufacture love. We got to manufacture joy. We got to manufacture peace. We got to manufacture patience. We got to manufacture kindness. We got to manufacture goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But if we just keep in step with God who's on the inside of us, he'll start reproducing his life in us. And the life he produces in us looks a whole lot like the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Got fruit? Got fresh fruit? Got fresh fruit daily? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to begin the first day of a brand new week. But it's a special week. It's VBS week at Hardin. And Father, there's a lot of things this church has planned to do so that we can just inspire and encourage and instruct our kids. Because we want them to know from an early age what the evidence of being a Christian really is. And it's not some form of legalism. It's not doing certain things and not doing other things. It's this awesome reality that you produce your life in us. And there's this ninefold cluster of fruit that grows in us. Father, our spouse, our kids, our parents, our neighbors, those we work with, our friends need fruit. And we don't grow this fruit for us. We grow this fruit for others, and we grow this fruit for you. So Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. So don't just get our kids ready. Get us ready as a church to truly give evidence of being a Christian. Father, we pray you'll anoint everything that's going to happen for the rest of this week, because we do it all for your honor and your glory. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.